I think, Mike, there was one other issue in regards to some of the higher nodes and to bring some of those down so it doesn't the potential to increase speed coming on a downside of things would those encourage additional speed more so than retard it, especially for some drivers. I have such a small area that's along that 68th corridor that's occupied by residents, but when I did attend the listening sessions along with Mr. Barber that Mike is correct in regards to the comments and the feedback that was coming back from the people that were in attendance. So I appreciate the work that you guys have done.
Alderman Barber.
One of the things I also wanted to mention is that we've got two different widths that exist right now. The area north of Drexel has 12-foot lanes, and then the sides vary. So it's 24 feet of roadway right now with 212. And then the roadway itself extends out or varies as we go north from Drexel. The area to the south has 11 feet with areas that vary along the side of it. I was trying to standardize that as well to make it into one uniform roadway. So keeping it down to the 10 feet, I think, accomplishes that. My problem might be is how far do we extend that on the roadways to keep it within what is almost there now without adding 4 feet to it.
Is there a motion to adopt a scoping phase report for 68th Street? Select recommendations for minimal functional alternative cross-section, which I think we now agree is the middle one. Select two vertical curves just south of West Drexel and north of Terrace Drive for lowering, and also direct staff to finalize professional services contracts for phase two of the detailed design of South 68th Street from West Loomis to West Putes for Lakeside Engineering and return to the council for execution.
I make that motion, but I'd like to change the functional minimum alternative to where it's 10 feet with 2 feet on each side to keep it at the 24 feet that exists right now, and that would kind of strengthen the sides as we go. So I would be interested in keeping it at the 10 feet that's suggested in the functional minimum, but cutting back on the 4 foot sides.
I'll second.
That's option one. Your motion is for option one, then, correct?
No, the option one is the functional alternative, which has 4 feet on each side.
No, that's two. That's the middle.
I need your help.
You have the absolute minimum alternative, which is the 10-foot lanes and the 2-foot shoulders.
Right.
And you have the functional minimum alternative, which is the 10-foot lanes and 4-foot shoulders. Yeah. And the optimal conditions are the 11-foot lanes and 5-foot shoulders. So I think what you just asked for was the first absolute minimum alternative.
Yes, but I like that to be uniform all the way down. That's what you're suggesting, then, right? With the absolute minimum?
Yeah, the recommendation was whatever you pick would be advantageous for all the way
from
down.
Roots to roots.
Yes.
Is that the top one?
Yes.
That would be the top one.
Oh, wait, but what the city engineer just said is important. Any one of the three will be consistent the entire run of the
list.
So are you sure you want to do the narrowest one, or do you want to do the 4 foot?
Based on what the citizens have said, I'd like to keep it at the 2 feet on the sides.
It's going to be safer at 4.
Yeah, it's very tight.
Okay, your motion is for option one.
Yes.
Is there a second to that motion?
I second it.
Discussion of the motion. Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed?
No.
Let's take a roll.
Alderman Dandridge?
Aye.
Alderman Mayer?
No.
Alderman Wilhelm?
Aye.
Alderman Taylor?
No.
Alderman Barber?
Aye.
Alderman Nelson?
Aye.
What was that, three?
It's 4-2.
Oh, it's 4.
4-2?
4-2.
Mm-hmm. 4-2, the motion carries. Anyway,
I'm not spending the money.
Mark. It's for you. Mark.
See the work.
Item G6 is a resolution authorizing certain officials to execute an agreement, continue professional services, engineering services.
Second.
Mr. City Attorney.
The presiding officer of the quarry of the landfill monitoring committee, Marvin Wolf, informed me that the monitoring committee not only recommended approval of continuance of this contract with JSA, but also that they're very pleased with the services provided through the years.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Page 79, G7, special use amendment for Hoppy Woodwork.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. G8 on 121 is a resolution authorizing certain officials to execute a subdivision development agreement for Ryanwood Manor subdivision. We know this is Newman Home. Mr. City Attorney.
There is a redraft work in process that's before the Common Council this evening. And while the Common Council has been going through redrafts repeatedly weekly, including at special meetings of late, a number of these changes are technical and relate back to the standard form development agreement that the city has used for years. Developer has already provided a letter of credit, not a bond. I guess the most important item with regard to concerns expressed by the Director of Administration and also the City Director of Finance, when this subject matter was before the Common Council back on November 5, and I see the page numbers did not work out on the printing. And that's part of,
well, they're on the
this
top.
Has been very time, no, you, the formatting on this document oh. has been, so that should be another thing to go on the list, reformat as well as update the standard form subdivision development agreement. In any event, so it would appear on the bottom of the third last page, 18. And part of this document had F's in front of
141, folks.
In front of the page numbers on the bottom, amongst everything else. So there's a trail. Third last page, start on the bottom.
Okay.
I got
18.
In the draft in the packet, there's a provision that the city shall reimburse the developer 62% of paved trail cost. One of the things here is this development agreement arrived by email about 6 weeks ago or so, and there's been no time, and there's nothing of recent participation, at least not by me, that I was aware of. So somewhere in here, I do the backtrack, and there was a preliminary plat approved 1 year ago in November. And standard practice, per my understanding, always has been preliminary plat, then you go to final plat. At time of final plat, there's a condition in the approval of a final plat for a subdivision development agreement. Sometimes those to run concurrent in this particular case. And historically, I recall site grading permits being awarded prior to a final plat approval. In this particular case, I understand that construction's begun with regard to utilities installation, which is part of the developer's concern to keep moving this along, which is why, even though technically it's not word for word done here, brought it back to the Common Council as soon as possible. In any event, there was a mention of this reimbursement with regard to a trail. I didn't have any access to the actual plat document. There was on one of the many, many, many emails and draft documents, et cetera, there was, you know, a one-page plat that need a magnifying glass for. But the bottom line, I went back a year to staff discussions electronically before the preliminary plat reached the council a few days later, and took point by point how to address public trails. So I call this a public improvement public trail and put conditions on it, because I understand, but I'm not sure, that this particular trail, which would have been on the preliminary plat, which has been approved, is going to be a public trail, and that it will either be the land thereupon will be dedicated to, in fee simple, the city of Franklin, or an easement thereupon would be granted to the city. So it's for public use. So that's a condition added. Also, that the comprehensive outdoor recreation plan include, if it does not already, and that's up to the council, if it has to be amended, to include this particular trail as part of the plan, as well as the impact fees needs assessment study has to be updated to include this particular trail, because those are requirements for reimbursements using impact fees. And there's a requirement that before anything happens, the developer has to pay all of the impact fees for the entire development project. So those are conditions that were added to this provision, and the exact amount would be determined by whatever the exact amount for those purposes of impact fees pursuant to the needs assessment as updated and the ordinance are when a reimbursement would be made. So that's the largest one. And unless, I mean, this is a subdivision development agreement, and there are substantial standard terms. And I did highlight some parts. I don't know if it showed up in the black and white copy, but it's just for further staff review, because in one exhibit it talks about, okay, developer's going to pay these costs, city's going to pay these costs, and that's just been a pro forma forever. But I'm not 100% sure that with regard to street trees and also with regard to the trail, which is not mentioned in there, but paths and sidewalks are. I did some highlighting for further review by staff on that, because elsewhere it talks about payment by developer for street trees and things along those lines. So,
do you have a motion?
Question. No.
Alderman Mayor.
So we're paying for this trail then?
No. It's a public improvement that provides a benefit to the community. And staff can correct me if I'm wrong, because I did not participate in designing the preliminary plat or studying this particular request for this addition or public improvement as part of this development. But it's not just to serve this particular new development and the new residential dwellings thereupon, but it's a new, akin to a city park, if you will. And so impact fees are paid by all new developments to cover various things, including recreational facility, well, not recreational facilities, but recreational lands. And the city uses those impact fees to help finance in whole or in part those, well, depending upon the needs assessment, those new improvements when they should go in. So this would be a new future public improvement driven by new development that is paid in part with impact fees.
So when we first had the discussion, and we talked about this in November too, and there was couple of different stories about it. What's the difference in requiring the subdivision to put in sidewalks, which we don't pay for, correct, or putting in a trail, which I don't think we should have to pay for in a brand new subdivision that is getting approval from us?
City attorney.
City engineer.
Mr. City engineer.
The trail doesn't really serve the subdivision. It's meant to go along the actual creek right there. And I understand from the planning department, this isn't in the overall comp plan. This was addressed, and this was something that Plan Commission was discussed as far as putting a trail in along the actual creek, but it's not actually serving the lots that are in the subdivision.
Page 132. It would be the squiggly line towards the bottom of the subdivision.
Yeah, I get that. I saw that, but we're requiring that of the subdivision. We're not requiring sidewalks because we're requiring a trail.
Actually, sidewalks, I believe, are on one side. Was the final determination at Plan Commission.
Okay.
And it was only on one side for consideration of snowplow operations.
Okay. I'm good with it then.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, this isn't a city park. It's not even in the core plan at this point. And my concern is process again. So I have never seen a project move along like this without the council even knowing we were paying for a trail. You know, it got up here and, you know, and we're all questioning where did this language come from, and the council members didn't even know that this was going to be in there. That's why we sent it back. And it was pretty clear that none of us thought that that's how it should go, but now that's how it's going anyways. So we're pretty much forced into doing this without regard to all the different reimbursements, all the park plans. The process is completely backwards. We haven't had a recommendation from the Park Commission, yet we're already ready to pass a document to put in a trail that has no adjustments in the plans that we have to do to accommodate this.
Mr. Moore.
Yeah, I'm not done, because one of the things is the maintenance of this. To me, it would make sense that if we went along with this, that there should be some kind of deferred maintenance, because currently, right now, it connects to nothing. It doesn't serve, as much as you wanted to believe, it serves other parts of the community. This is serving one private development and connects to nowhere. And I just find it appalling that we're going to be going into a private development onto what is private property and maintaining a trail for one individual homeowners association. Maybe 5 years from now, when it connects somewhere, 10 years from now, there could be some language that we will then take it over, but it just doesn't really make any sense. It may never go anywhere. Can you guarantee me that this is going to go somewhere? I doubt it. And then we have, like, sort of we have this going on over at the Carroty Prairie, where we have a stormwater basin and we have public property that's owned by the Land Conservancy on the other side of that. So there had to be an easement negotiated between the stormwater basin where the trail comes across, in order for people to, the public, to go across that property. So if they give us the property, now you've got a homeowners association who needs a joint access easement in order to do maintenance on the stormwater basin, because the stormwater basin is tied in with the trail, which kind of surrounds the whole basin. This hasn't been very well thought out at all. We haven't even covered everything on this yet. And I just can't even support it. I've been given two documents, and now I appreciate all the work the city attorney's doing on this. He's you know, really helping out with this, but I can't vote on this. Are you expected to vote on this tonight to move it forward? And I don't want to lose the floor. That was a question the mayor, city attorney, wanted to answer me.
Would you restate it?
Oh,
okay. Procedure.
He was listening.
I did prepare potential council action or a motion, and it has a number of contingencies. Well, why don't I just read it? That's easiest. A motion to adopt a resolution authorizing certain officials to execute a subdivision development agreement for Ryan Wood Manor subdivision with the content of the agreement to include the work in process draft agreement content provided to the council at this meeting, subject to changes thereto approved by the city engineer, the planning manager, and the city attorney, with such staff approval authority to include changes to the resolution content, because there's changes needed in the resolution, and the subdivision development agreement approval also being subject to the approval of a final plat for Ryan Wood Manor subdivision. So in other words, you act upon a motion akin to this, and you're approving it subject to further changes, but the approval does not come into effect until you have all that information and if and when you approve the final plat. And going back to that added provision on the second and third last pages of the draft before you, that also continued with regard to those future potential amendments. They're all in there. Subject to such project being specified in the City of Franklin Comprehensive Outdoor Recreation Plan, the public facilities needs assessment for impact fees, and the cost of any city reimbursement to subdivider being allocated as may be necessary in the city budget. So those are all contingencies, and I did talk to developer representatives about that. So this would not take effect. I'm assuming that this particular trail is not in those plans, et cetera. And so that requirement to pay would not take effect until if and when Common Council takes those actions and approves those changes. So
if we don't take all those actions, approve those changes, it might not even go in.
Right.
And then
no,
we have a
that all goes to the reimbursement.
And then we have a plat that's approved with the trail that might not.
It reads that the developer shall construct and pay the cost of the trail. All those conditions go to the reimbursement. With my understanding and forever an ongoing assumption that the decision makers will act reasonably in the review process thereof. And if that's some form of we'll never agree to that, then that ought to be stated right up front.
Well, I think that's kind of what we said at the last meeting. None of us were kind of real thrilled about that, and we aren't even at that point right now, but there has to be some process. Maybe we need a bullet point on process, because to start a development and have it happen like this and then have to go back and adjust plans for a development that's already being started and work is being done on the ground already, how does it even get to this point? It's very concerning to me. And I did have a couple other things in the development agreement. I'm not going to support this, but it's going to probably move forward in some form. But the requirements that are in the document talk about grading and there's the sheet where it talks about the different fees. Let's see if I on page 140, I think it is. Let's see. I'm throwing all off by a brand new sheet of paper. Yeah, on page 140 in the council pack, Exhibit D talks about the estimated improvement costs, and it says grading, including erosion control, which are mentioned in Exhibit E on items 3 and 8. It talks about all grading, the subdivision shall cause all grading, and it talks about prior to commencing the site grading, but yet there's zero in here for that project as far as grading. And then retention basin, which is also talked about in item 14, there's also NA for that. So there are things that are being talked about in the development agreement that they are supposed to be doing that aren't even listed as fees on here.
I'm Steve. I'm
Steve.
Motion to suspend the rules.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Steve?
So I just
name an address, please.
Sir, my name is Steve DeClean. My home address is in Autumn View. I just wanted to address the document that you're looking at, the estimated improvement cost, is the amount of surety. And by state law, we only post surety on public infrastructure, and that's really clearly defined in the state statutes. You don't provide surety for grading or the underground electric, as those are private and retention basis.
Well, then they don't need to even be on the list.
The water that we're going to dedicate to you, the sewer we're going to dedicate to you, the paving, those items that we're going to dedicate to you are deemed public infrastructure. And as such, they need surety posted.
Well, I don't see the trail if we're talking about dedications.
the trail is included in the paving.
In the paving costs on here?
Yeah, we gave paving estimates that support these amounts. And
paving included sidewalk. It should mention a trail if we're going down that route. To me, the document is not... It's not tied together very well. It's pieces here. It's a sidewalk here. Oh, the paving includes the trail, but we don't put the trail on there. And over here we talk about pedestrian access, and we don't talk about the trail. We don't talk about sidewalks. We talk about the trail. And the document is very difficult to read. And I have read a lot of development documents. Now, I understand that's why the city attorney is working on this, to try to clean it up. But you realize you have a council up there that had no idea that we were going to be paying. And it's not so much paying for a portion of the trail, it's maintaining the trail. None of us had here on any idea that we are going to be maintaining a trail inside a private subdivision where the trail goes nowhere for perpetuity.
So let me be clear. First, the trail will be going in the spring or the summer. And I have never cared whether the trail goes in or not. Now, the people in the... I don't even want it. So we can pull that trail out in a snap of a fingers. There's sidewalks in the subdivisions. We match the ordinance. The trail does some public good because there is the parkway there, and it's very, very nice. And in the future, it would be a shame to have subdivisions all around here and this one not be connected to it.
I understand that.
There's no way as a developer that I should bear the cost for this future connectivity throughout Franklin. I should bear some of it. And that's what the city of Franklin has ordinances that exist to do that. It wasn't my suggestion to be reimbursed for something.
I think it's a fine suggestion. I'm okay. I've always been about connecting neighborhoods.
If we want to remove the trails, I'm the happiest guy ever.
You think?
Yeah. Okay, so now all of these lots, when building permits are pulled, there's a park fee paid. Okay.
I understand that.
Those park fees are used to fund things like public walkways. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's the theory behind this calculation. It's intellectually honest.
The problem I have is not with you. It's not with whether you want the trail or not. The problem I'm having is we have nothing in our park plan that covers this. We have to now go back and remake motions and do different things and add things to park plans. And the process is backwards to me, and that has nothing to do with you. So... I appreciate you coming up here, but I am looking for the process in the council to be something that I, as an alderman, can understand and explain it to my constituents. So when they have a question, I don't say, well, I'm not sure because the last time we did all that before anybody knew it. And can you understand where I'm coming from?
Alderman, wait, stop. Yeah. Everybody stop. It's okay, Steve.